The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
This is a common theme on this program. Eventually, real science will always catch up with the Bible. And it's not the other way around. The Bible never catches up with real science. Real science catches up with the Bible. I have a fascinating story here about the latest scientific evidence concerning transgenderism. Yeah, and it's not what you're being told in the media or even from our government. I will get to that in just a little bit. But first, we're going to go to the phones because I've got Steve in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. Steve, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live. Thanks so much for calling.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for the conversation about the 25% of people who aren't going back to church, even though they could. My question would be of their congregations. If their congregations are continuing to provide an online non-live worship experience, I put that on their doorstep. They're making it easy for their people to not be there.
Well, I understand your point, but the technology that's available to us that can, you know, way back when I began in ministry, we were very concerned about homebound people. And every week, someone from the church would take the cassette tape of the Sunday message, and we would deliver it to the people in our church that were homebound. And that was our way of allowing them to participate in the worship services and so forth. Fast forward to today. We don't have cassette tapes anymore. We now have streaming audio. Almost everybody has either a laptop or a tablet. We have dear friends. Their mother is 90 years old, and she's got her iPad, and she watches streaming services and so forth. So I think churches need to use new technology for people who just can't make it, who can't get there, people who are homebound, people that are in the hospital. But yeah. I think that those same churches need to make it clear, hey, get out of bed, get your clothes on, and get here to church if you possibly can.
You know, this might sound draconian of me, but, you know, given that the live feed makes it easy to just get the live feed, it's easy for me to say this because our church, we pulled the live feed as soon as we reopened. But, I put the live feed out there with some kind of a password that you've got to put in saying, you know, what ailment you have so that the congregation can pray for that concern. And then, that's me being draconian.
I think it is. What about unsaved people, unchurched people that would have the opportunity to watch the streaming service and hear the gospel? I have no problem with making the services as available and convenient as possible, but like the pastor of the church that Joy and I are members of, the pastor is Frank Carl, and a few weeks ago he looked straight into the TV camera and said, hey, if you can be here physically, put your big boy pants on and get in here and join us next Sunday. I like that. You know? I like that.
Yeah. You know, we post our sermons online after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, which which I think is our you know, that's our outreach.
Sure.
Who would not know to come?
Well, it would be interesting. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt.
But we also didn't see a 25% drop of people who haven't come back. We probably saw about a 5% drop of people who didn't come back. But we also saw a 20% increase of people who came in for whatever reason. So, you know.
Yeah.
And we're actually at an uptick since before COVID.
Our home church, I think we are, and I don't know because I don't keep track of the numbers at all, but I believe that our home church is back in actual attendance, back where we were before the pandemic. It may have increased somewhat. So I don't think we've seen any downtick at all, but a lot of churches have. And, Steve, we got to understand a lot of liberal churches, it doesn't do you any good to go to church anyway because you're not going to hear the gospel.
Well, that's true.
Sadly, yeah. You know. All right. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. God bless you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's go to Dave in Greater Metropolitan Sunbury, Ohio. Hey, Dave, how's rush hour in Sunbury today?
Oh, it's really well. I'm coming on 61 right now. So that's a lot of fun. How are you?
I am well. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, my church did everything. My pastor's been amazing. We went back to services last May. We added a service for masked people before the mask mandate. And we're live streaming. And I think any church that stops a live stream is missing it. They're missing the point. And during the shutdown, our pastor would record a service on Saturday and then live stream it on Sunday because the church was closed. And we had a member of the church that would take a CD, DVD, to all the people that didn't have internet access.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, we have people that have gone away to the military. They've moved to Utah. They've moved to other places, but they're still watching our live stream service on Sunday.
Yeah.
And yes, there's some people using it as an excuse not to come. There's still some people that are afraid to come because, you know, fear of getting sick or whatever. And I think any church that does away with their live feed is making a mistake.
Well, you brought up something that I had forgot, and that's the military. Again, the church that we're a part of has a large contingent of people in the military in Afghanistan and all over the world that tune into the live streaming, and they can actually be a part of the service halfway around the world. And I think that's valid. I think that's another reason to continue the streaming.
Oh, yeah. They're still a part of the church, and it's a blessing for them, and, you know, a true blessing. And they can watch it any time with the time changes.
Yeah.
So.
I just think every church, every pastor needs to tell their people the truth. If you can't come, we will do everything we can to continue to make you a part of the services and so forth. But if you can physically get out of your house, like my pastor said, put your big boy pants on, get dressed, get out of the house, and come to church. Mm-hmm. It's time
Absolutely.
To come back to church. It's time.
Yep.
All right, Dave. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Bob. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for what you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. You know, they didn't ask the theological bent of these congregations, but I would venture to say, and I can say it with real confidence, the more conservative and the more biblical the church, the smaller the percentage of people staying at home in that church. Now, I don't have the statistics to prove it, but if I did, I honestly believe I would be correct. The more conservative and the more biblical the church in their theology, the smaller the percentage of people staying home. That's just my experience. And I think the more liberal, the less likely they're going to be going back to church. All right. My number is 877-BOB-LIVE again. When we come back, unless we get some more phone calls, science in time always catches up with the Bible. In time. We'll be back.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Okay, I know I've said this about 456,000 times. That may be a slight exaggeration, but I've said it many, 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 many times. We who are conservative Christian Bible believers are not the science deniers. And we're told that constantly. You people, you believe the Bible, you're a bunch of science deniers. You believe in the fairy tale stories of the Bible. You reject science. Hey, folks, listen. When it comes right down to it, we are not the science deniers. And in fact, often today, I know this sounds weird, sounds bizarre, counterintuitive, but many times today, the real science deniers are the scientists, because they are rejecting their own studies, their own research, their own conclusions for an ideological purpose. And that is no more prevalent than in this whole transgender thing. I've been saying this for a long time. There is no scientific evidence that transgenderism even exists. Sexual confusion, gender dysphoria, yes, it needs to be treated with counseling, with therapy, but not with surgery and hormone treatment. That is what science says. And yet, we have the President of the United States out saying we've got to protect transgender young people because they're expressing their real self. We've got Gay Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg out on the stump saying, oh, these evil, wicked Republicans are trying to pass laws to keep transgender young people from competing in a sport of their preferred gender. We hear that over and over and over again. Where is the science? It doesn't exist. Back in 2019, there was a Swedish study that got a lot of press, particularly here in America. The American Psychiatric Community, went crazy with this study back in 2019 out of Sweden. And the result of that study was, if we don't affirm transgender young people, they're going to kill themselves. If we don't give in, if we don't give them the cross-sex hormones and, you know, the surgeries and so forth, then they're going to get more and more depressed and suicide rates are going to go up because we've got to affirm their feelings of transgenderism. And that report was, it was announced from the rooftops by social media, the secular press, and so on and so forth. Here's what you have not heard in the mainstream media. Last September, the American Journal of Psychiatry released a correction to the 2019 Swedish study, which drew as its primary conclusion, quote, that individuals who claim to be transgender experience mental health benefits following gender-affirming surgeries. So in other words, you cut, slice, and dice. You cut this off, cut that off. You add this, that transgender individuals, quote, experience mental health benefits following gender-affirming surgeries, they are less likely to commit suicide. Well, again, this past September, the American, I want to make sure I'm correct on this. The American Journal of Psychiatry released a correction. They discovered that this study in Sweden has been widely discredited. Yeah, discredited. Oops. Quote, an article of the public discourse by family physician Dr. Andre Van Mol of the American College of Pediatricians, endocrinologist Dr. Michael Laidlaw, and psychiatrist Dr. Miriam Grossman and Dr. Paul McHugh noted the authors of the original study retracted the conclusion after numerous requests for a reanalysis of the data led to the corrected findings. Again, quoting, after the data were reanalyzed, the Swedish study's conclusion was neither gender-affirming hormone treatment nor gender-affirming surgery decreased the need for mental health services of those claiming to be transgender. In a review of the study, adolescent psychiatrist Savin Roman and his colleagues concluded, quote, investigators distorted gender dysphoria. And here's another conclusion, and I quote, the brain is not fully developed until about 25 years of age. Therefore, it is completely unreasonable for children to be able to make decisions on this issue. So in other words, a child should never, 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 never be allowed to make this decision before they're 25 years of age or older because they don't have the mental ability. And if you do it younger than that, it's child abuse. That is the conclusion that was reached in a major court situation in the United Kingdom just a few months ago. The American medical community and psychiatric community has not gotten the message yet. Transgenderism, hormone treatment surgeries do not decrease suicides, depression, etc., etc., etc. In fact, it exacerbates it. Now that's the settled science, which is exactly the opposite of what the president and many members of his administration and much of the American psychiatric community are saying. Yeah. No, folks, we are not the science deniers. No, not us. All right, we'll be back.